Well, it's week two of Beauty by the Book for teens. And this past week, you studied our first biblical beauty don't, the immoral woman. Proverbs has a lot to say about this woman, and it kind of makes you wonder why. Why is there so much ink given in God's Word to the immoral woman? Well, I believe it's because this woman is so dangerous. But I also recognize in today's culture, she's become very, very popular. In fact, she's even become a role model for a lot of teens and even for a lot of women. Well, as we look in this session of Beauty by the Book for Teens at this beauty don't, number one, the immoral woman, we're going to learn how to become godly women, biblical beauty do's. Several years ago, on a high school campus in Pennsylvania, a small group of girlfriends began noticing other t-shirts that other girls were wearing, and they found that these t-shirts were offensive. They believed these t-shirts that their peers were wearing were degrading to young women. And some of the t-shirts, one of the messages that was across the t-shirt said this, "Who needs brains when you've got these?" Another one of the messages says, "I'm blonde, I don't need brains." Things like that. And these girls just thought, this is just awful. This is just not right. They found out where those t-shirts had been purchased. And they were purchased from a major retailer in malls all across America, a real popular store where young people shop, Abercrombie and Fitch. They were putting out this t-shirt line, and they called them attitude tees to make you, it kind of gave you a little attitude, a little message that was sort of showing what your attitude was about different things. And these little handful of girls up in a Pennsylvania high school, they decided they would organize a girlcott. Isn't that awesome? Not a boycott, a girlcott. And these little girls decided, you know what, we're not shopping there, and we're going to tell everybody don't shop there because these t-shirts are degrading. These t-shirts bring out the worst in everybody's kind of beliefs about what girls should be like. We think they're just degrading. And one high school after another in the Pennsylvania area, girls, just several girls, dozens of girls, then it became hundreds of girls in the Pennsylvania area in their high schools began girlcotting. Abercrombie and Fitch wouldn't go. And finally, a newspaper reporter heard about it in Pittsburgh, and he decided to interview the girls who started the girlcott. He interviewed these girls and printed a story about them in the paper, and eventually, not long after that, nationwide, that story was picked up and it was run. A few days later, those girls, those original girls who organized that girlcott, found themselves on a nationally syndicated TV show early in the morning. It was like Good Morning America or the Today Show or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And the girlcott girls of Abercrombie and Fitch went national. Up until that point, they had written and they had petitions and things, and they had asked Abercrombie and Fitch to quit selling that kind of t-shirt. And Abercrombie and Fitch had totally ignored them. But when the whole thing went national, and when the national spotlight was focused on Abercrombie and Fitch, they said, okay, we give. Girls, a few young women in a high school in Pennsylvania made a difference in the nation. But girls, Abercrombie and Fitch went away for a while with these attitude tees. But guess what? They're back. They're back a few years later. And other retailers have joined them in producing these tees. And so I brought a few of these things with me, and I just want to show you. And you, listen, this is stuff that you have already seen. I know that y'all have seen things like this. And if I found them, then you can find them. This is a little t-shirt that was found in a little store. And it just says, "It's not easy being sexy," okay? So what does this tell you? This tells you this little girl thinks she's hot and she's sexy and she's advertising, "I'm sexy, it's not easy," okay? And that's kind of a little attitude tea that may seem a little bit tame to you. This is one that says Boy Scouting. Girls, when you wear this, what is it saying? "I'm looking at you," okay? This is kind of a t-shirt that just advertises that you are a boy watcher and that you're looking for guys to, you know, kind of start conversations and things like that. It is an attitude tee. Now, this is one from Abercrombie & Fitch, and it says this, "Too hot to care," okay? I don't care what you think about me. I'm hot and I'm just all that. And so there's an attitude tee there. Now, here's another one, and this is from a store called, and I hate to say this because I'm not real good at pronouncing it, but it's Buyaka. Is that how you say it? Is that right? Or Buyaka, something like that? Okay, I've heard different people pronounce it different ways. And this one says, "I used to think that drinking was bad for me, so I gave up thinking." Girls, this is dangerous. This is dangerous, and this is promoting that, hey, drinking and underage drinking is absolutely acceptable. Here's another one, and this again is from Abercrombie & Fitch. And it says this, good girls are just better at lying. Good girls are just better at lying. Kind of the implication is that if you say you're good, you're really not. You're just a liar because we're all pretty bad, pretty hot. Now, I found these just last week. Okay, these last two I'm going to show you. These were bought some time ago. Okay, so I just kind of got out the mall the other day. I was at the mall and all of a sudden I saw these two t-shirts. Okay, so this has not stopped. This has gotten kind of ramped up, I think. And this is one that I found at that same store, Buyaka. And it says this, all bed and no breakfast. Girls, I mean, what's that saying? You know exactly what it's saying. It's just advertising, really, immorality in a way. And here's to me one that just, I couldn't believe it. It stopped me in my tracks when I saw it, and it was hanging right out in front, not buried on a sales rack in the back, not stacked up in one of those sorters that they sell on the side, they have on the sides of the stores. This was right out in front where all the mall traffic was, and it said this, I'm not sleeping with your boyfriend. And then underneath it says, anymore. Girls, you're kind of speechless, aren't you? This is kind of amazing. They're selling these and somebody's buying them, aren't they? And this is where we've come today. Girls are basically just out there, lots of them, and they're just advertising, I'm available and I am doing it, okay? And it is just completely acceptable now. Just completely acceptable because girls, here's what the culture has, here's what's become normal in the culture. Immorality has become the new normality, okay? Immorality has become the new normality. When I bought these t-shirts last week, the girls at the sales counter, you know, kind of looking at me, I'm an older woman, they were like, what are you going to do with these? And I told them, I said, I'm going to take these and I'm going to show these to some girls that I'm doing a Bible study with. And I'm going to show them that this is what not to wear, okay? And they said, well, you know, we just put those out the other day. We've only sold a few. Well, they'll sell out pretty soon. Somebody's buying these things, girls, and it is dangerous. And it's not a big deal, though, to most girls because immorality is the new normality. Well, what we're going to look at today is what you looked at last week, and you looked in your homework at a woman, our first biblical beauty don't, and she is the immoral woman, okay? And girls, that's the kind of way, that's how she dresses. This is no big deal for her. She is out there, okay? And you have seen her. And she doesn't just wear t-shirts. She wears a lot of low necklines. She wears a lot of short shorts. She is showing it off, and she is hot, and she knows it, and she is just going to advertise it. That is the way the immoral woman is. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a contrast between what an immoral woman looks like, dresses like, how she talks, and what a biblically beautiful woman looks like, dresses like, and talks like, okay? Because the culture, maybe you don't even know some of these things that we're about to see. And maybe when you did your homework this past week, you kind of learned some things and you thought, I didn't even know that before. I didn't know God had anything to say about what I wore. I didn't think He cared. I thought, you know, I'm just supposed to be fashionable and cute, and what's wrong with being hot? I mean, hot as in. I surfed a bunch of websites getting ready for this Bible study. Went on all the major retailers that y'all shop at. And the main word that I saw on these fashion sites is hot, sexy, seductive, you know, all those kinds of things. And I know that's out there, and it's hard, girls. I know it's hard for y'all to be able to shop, and you try things on, you go, oh, my word, I can't, you know, my mom will never let me wear this and things like that. Lots of tight things, tight dresses, short skirts, things like that. And I know that it's not going to be easy, but here's what I know. I'm looking at y'all. You look very fashionable, girls, okay? It's possible. It's possible. I'm not saying it's easy for you to dress in a modest way and still look pretty fashionable, okay? I think y'all look great. It's hard, but it's not impossible. Well, let's look at the immoral woman. And so if you'll open your Bibles with me, and we're going to look at, first of all, Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to look at the immoral woman and how she speaks. What kind of words does she use? How can you recognize a woman or a young woman who's an immoral woman? Well, the first giveaway with her is not only the way she's dressed, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's the way she speaks, okay? It's the words she uses, and it's the conversations that she has. How does she speak? Well, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16, it says that the immoral woman uses seductive words, okay? She uses seductive words. She uses little, she says things that are intended to seduce, and especially when she's around the opposite sex. She speaks in a seductive, flirtatious, flattering, and enticing way, okay? She is a sweet-talking girl, and she is very, very seductive. It says in Proverbs 5:3 that her speech is, it drips like honey, okay? So she sounds really, really sweet. And it says in Proverbs 7:5 that she is a flatterer. She has pretty speech, and she uses that to seduce young men, okay? Pretty speech. Oh, you look hot today. Oh, you know, just, I love what you're wearing. That shirt is just, it just, you know, that's how she talks, okay? She compliments, she flatters, she makes the guy feel like, whoa, you know? And that's the way an immoral woman speaks. That's the way an immoral young woman speaks. Well, how does she act? How does she behave when she's around other people? You've seen her at school. You've seen her at the malls and things like that. Here's how she acts. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. There's a long description here of this woman and how she behaves. And in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10, it says this, the woman approaches a young man, okay? She is hanging out and she's waiting for a good-looking hot guy to come by. And it says she goes straight to him. Does she wait for him to come to her? No, because an immoral woman, here's one of the marks of an immoral woman, she is aggressive, okay? She will make the first move. She will send the first text. She will make the first call. She is a person who will just go for it, okay? She doesn't wait on a guy to initiate. She is aggressive. And it says there that she approached him, and she's the brash, rebellious type. Okay? That means she's kind of brazen. She wears these kind of t-shirts. She wears these low necklines. She doesn't care what anybody thinks about her because she's going to get what she wants. Okay? She's aggressive. She's brash. And she is rebellious. That's how she acts. And how does she then dress? Well, she dresses, girls, just like she talks. She dresses seductively. Her body, she considers it her best asset, and it is her bait. Okay? It is her bait. And she dresses very seductively. She looks in the mirror before she leaves and she says, you know, she's real concerned about this. She wants to make sure that it's all showing off to the best of its ability. She dresses seductively and she dresses girls immodestly, okay? Immodestly. She dresses inappropriately, all right? Inappropriately. She dresses seductively, immodestly, and inappropriately. In Proverbs 7, verse 10, we just saw it says she approaches him and she is seductively dressed. She has an intent when she picks out her clothes. She has an intent when she gets up every morning and she picks out what she's going to wear for the day. She wants it to all be showing, okay? She wants it to all be out there, nothing left to the imagination, because she dresses to basically her body as bait. There's a great Christian author, writer, and teacher. Her name is Vicki Courtney, and she especially has a great ministry to young girls. And her website is called virtuousreality.com. And some of her writings and things, I have a great quote from her, and I love this. She says, when you get dressed in the morning and before you leave to go to school or to the mall or wherever you're going to hang with your friends, think about this. Does your clothing say pure or lure? Pure or lure, okay? Because the immoral woman dresses to lure, okay? It is possible, girls. I'm not saying it's impossible. It is very possible, as I said a while ago, for you to dress in a modest way, in a pure way, and still look very, very fashionable in style, okay? But this is a woman, and the immoral woman, who dresses to lure. What is her heart like? Well, number four is this. Her heart is religious, okay? She may go to church. And in these passages you studied this past week, you saw she does. She's a church-going girl. She goes occasionally. She's religious, but she ignores God's way. She ignores God's way. And she uses and destroys others, and she has no remorse about it. Girl, she'll take your guy. She has no boundaries. She'll flirt with anybody's guy. She doesn't care. She's a married woman. She'll flirt with somebody else's husband. She doesn't care. There are no boundaries. Nothing is off limits for her. And when she gets what she wants, she won't feel one bit sorry for you. She won't feel one bit sorry for somebody's home she has destroyed. That's how this woman is. And girl, she is dangerous. And I'm telling you, one of the most dangerous things I think about her is that her heart just does not care. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, that she has no remorse. Well, what's her destiny? Her destiny is this. Her destiny, her end, is destruction, girls, death, and judgment. A woman who lives a lifestyle like this, okay? Her end is destruction and judgment. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 5:5. Her feet go down to death and her steps lead straight to the grave. In Proverbs 7:27, it says, her house is the road to the grave and her bedroom is the den of death, okay? She is a woman who's headlong on a path to destruction. And if she's your best friend, girls, you need to find somebody else because she'll take as many people with her to that place of destruction as she possibly can. Well, that's her destiny. Well, this week you studied another woman. You studied and you looked at some scriptures that would teach you that God does have a dress code and God does care what we wear, doesn't He? And God does care about our hearts because our hearts are really where immorality begins and our thought life and things like that. And so I know you've studied that real well, but let's go through the biblical beauty do's of the godly woman, okay? What does the godly woman, how does she dress? How does the godly one young woman look and how does she speak? Well, she speaks gentle, quiet and discreet words, okay? She is edifying. A godly young woman is gentle, quiet, discreet, and edifying. And we see this in 1 Peter. It says that your inner self, it's talking about the beauty that is God's beauty, is gentle and quiet, okay? Does that mean you're some mouse and some doormat and some person that's just a wallflower and boring? No, it just means that, listen, you have a gentleness about you, a quietness about you. And I'm going to tell you something. Most guys find that very attractive. They just do, because it's rare, for one thing. And nobody likes a loud woman. Girls, I'm telling you something. I have boys, I have brothers, and I know this. Loud girls, talking girls and all this kind of stuff, it's not attractive. A gentle, quiet spirit. She speaks in a gentle way. She is discreet in the words that she uses. And she's not a mean girl either, okay? She's not tearing people down. And we'll talk about that when we get in a few weeks to the irritating woman, okay? Number two, how does she act? Well, girls, she avoids sexual immorality. She controls her body so that she won't defraud. Now, girls, the word defraud is an old-fashioned kind of word, but it's a biblical word, that she won't defraud others. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, there we see that she is a pure woman. But in 1 Thessalonians, we see this verse, and I love this. It says that it is God's will in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, that you should be sanctified. That means that you should be pure and that you should avoid sexual immorality and that each of you, listen, should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and it's honorable, not in passionate lust like unbelievers do. And in this matter, listen, no one should wrong his brother, okay, another guy, a friend, whoever. No one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him by behaving in any way that would cause them to stumble. And it says, the Lord will punish those for all such sins. For God did not call us to impurity, but to a pure and to a holy life. Girls, God's standard is very, very high. But I'm telling you, it's for our very, very best. And we see this godly woman, she avoids sexual immorality. She's not wanting to cause other people to stumble. And there's a great book out right now. And it is a book that's written by Shanti Feldham. And it's about how young guys think. And it's called For Young Women Only. And I would recommend this very, very highly for you to read. Because what you'll find out is this, is that guys appreciate it. It's hard for guys in society. I mean, hot girls are everywhere, okay? Girls with everything hanging out are everywhere. And it's hard for guys, okay, not to begin to lust and to begin to go places in their thought life where they don't need to go, okay, that are only going to get them into trouble. And if they appreciate the fact when you look good, but you don't just look like this immoral woman, okay? Because it helps them in their thought life as well. I would highly recommend that book, For Young Women Only by Shanti Feldham. It's excellent. Well, how does the godly young woman dress? Well, girls, number three, she dresses modestly, decently, and appropriately, okay? Modestly, decently, and appropriately. We see this in 1 Timothy, and you looked at this past week, God's dress code. In 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, it says, I want young women, all women, to dress modestly with decency and propriety and not in an immodest way, he's talking about. And so modesty and decently and to dress in a way that is appropriate. My mother was real, she was She knew these scriptures, and she raised me to dress very modestly. As I said, I had four brothers, and my mom taught me when I got to a certain age and I began to develop that I couldn't just run around in my bra and my underwear. I couldn't just run around in little 90s that were, just kind of see-through and things like that. I had to cover up, okay? So my mother taught me modesty from the time I was about 12 years old, and it wasn't like all this pressure on me or anything. It was just like, Laura, you have younger brothers. You don't want to expose them to things that they're too young to be exposed to, and you need to learn modesty. I got, though, really put out with my mom sometimes because of that. Because you know what? All the girls my age got to do things in dress and purchase things that my mother wouldn't let me to purchase. And one time I talked my mother into letting me get a bathing suit that looked like all the other girls' bathing suits. And it turned out to be just a trap for me, honestly. And it turned into having the biggest war I've ever had with my mother. How many of you have had a war or two with your mother over clothes? Some of you have, okay? This is one of the hardest things that moms have to do, and I just want to tell you something. I look back now at my mother and the war we had over a bikini bathing suit, and I want to tell you something. By the way, she won, okay? I got the bikini. She let me do that, but she said, Laura, you can only wear it at home, okay? You can only wear it out. We had a little pool in the backyard. You could only wear it there, and one day I tried to sneak out and wear it to the lake with a bunch of my friends, and as I left, my mother saw me, and I was covering up with this long t-shirt hoping she wouldn't see it. And she probably knew young women a lot better than I thought she did. And she came out to the door as I was about to go out and leave. And she said, Laurie, what swimsuit are you wearing? And I thought, I'm caught. And I said, I'm wearing my bikini. Everybody out there at the beach today is going to be in their bikini. And I'll be the only one in that little modest bathing suit that you got me. I am not going to wear that. I will stand out like a sore thumb. All I wanted to be was like everybody else. And girls, you know what my mother did? My mother started kind of crying a little bit because I just stood up. I was just rebelling against her. I wanted to be like everybody else. And I stormed out that door, and I got down the road with my friends in a car. And all I could think of was how much I'd hurt my mother and how much she loved me. And the Lord just convicted me. And I made my friends turn the car around because I could not go to the beach and have a good time making my mother cry, And so I went back home. And I changed in my old bathing suit. And before I left, my mother came to the door again, and she saw what I had done. And she said, Laurie, I'm so proud of you. Thank you, baby. Thank you. And here's what I said. Do I think I said something like this? Well, okay, but I'm going to stick out. I wasn't even really happy about it. But you know what? I got to the beach that day, and I managed to have a great time. And you know what? I went there, and I went there with a clean heart, and I went there with the purity about me. And I didn't look. There was not one other girl dressed like I was dressed that day. But you know what? It just didn't matter. And I thank God right now that my mother loved me enough. If you've got a mother who loves you enough to take you shopping, and she monitors and encourages you to dress modestly but fashionably, you need to hug her neck, okay? I look back now, and I'm grateful I had a mama like that because that's a rare mama. She was trying to protect me, and she was trying to protect other people because when you dress it in a modest way and somebody looks at you and they lust, okay, and you're dressed immodestly, do you know what? That's a sin to make somebody lust after you. Girls, if I leave this place in a little while this afternoon and I head out of here and I run to Kroger on my way home, okay, and I get my grocery basket and I start tootling around, Kroger, getting my groceries and stuff, and some guy looks at me the way I'm dressed like I am right now, and he looks at me and he begins to undress me in his mind, and he begins to lust after me, and these images come up in his mind. Did I cause that? No, I did not. Listen, that is his problem, and that is his sin, and I didn't tempt him to sin, okay? I did not defraud him. There's that kind of old-fashioned word that the Bible uses. I didn't cause him to stumble, all right? I'm not responsible for that. But if I leave this place today, and I unzip my jacket a little bit, and then I unbutton a button or two, and then I walk out of here like this, and I begin to sashay around Kroger with as much as a little as I've got hanging out and all this stuff, and guys begin to look at me, and probably not many would. I'm 52, I understand that. But listen, if they do look at me and they begin to lust after me, and the images begin to come into their mind that are immoral, am I responsible for that? Yes, I am. And girls, so are you. When you dress in a way that you show off too much, when you wear short shorts where you've got a little bit too much showing, and you cause a guy to stumble, girls, we're responsible for that, and God's going to hold us accountable for that. You've got to dress modestly because, listen, others are watching, and you may be responsible for causing someone else to sin. A young woman, a godly woman, dresses modestly, decently, and appropriately. Let me go real fast and cover this very tail end of this. Number four, what is a young woman who pleases God? What's her heart like? Well, she longs to please the Lord, okay? He is the number one person on her list that she seeks to please. She longs to please God and lead a holy, a pure life, okay? She cares more about pleasing God than she does about those friends at school whose moms let them dress however. Are those friends at school whose moms don't even know that when those daughters get to school, they're changing into other clothes, you know, and things like that. This is a girl who cares about what God thinks. And when she gets dressed, she wants to dress in a way that pleases God because she wants to live a pure life. Well, number five, what is her destiny? Well, her destiny, her future, girls, is not destruction. And it is not God's judgment. It is eternal life and it is salvation. And girls, beyond that is even the reward of God's blessing. There's going to be reward right now. Some people may look at you and may make fun of the way you dress, that you don't dress like the other girls do. But I'm telling you, there is reward for those who obey God's word and who seek to please Him. And there's a reward one day for you when you dress in a way that pleases the Lord and that is according to the standard of His word. Well, girls, you saw that just a few young women can make a huge, huge impact upon society. But you also saw that they're always going to come back. The Abercrombie and Fitches, all the other people, they're going to come back. But I would just challenge you, be among those few girls who can make an enormous impact by rising up, okay, and being a biblically beautiful young woman. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much. We just praise You that You love us enough to give us a standard. You care about what we wear. You care about how we handle ourselves around guys. You care, Father. And we just today want to just tell You, we thank You that we serve a God who is a great Father. And that, Lord, You want to protect us. And so we know sometimes it's going to cause us to be out of step with the culture. That sometimes we're going to feel like we stick out like a sore thumb because we don't talk and act and we don't dress in the way other people do. But, Father, there is a reward for that. And, Lord, I pray that these young women here would begin to see that part of that reward is just the peace that You give us, Father, and the doors that You open for us, Lord, when we obey You, the rewards that You give us, not just the heavenly rewards we'll receive one day, but the rewards even down here for those of us who will follow Your word. Oh, Lord, let us become more and more and more like You is our prayer. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.